how much I need the Lord tonight. Always do. I love this church. I want to tell these youngins how much I appreciate them. Amen. Being Amen. Willing to sing. That boy, what a blessing they are to us. I appreciate Leanne and Clarissa working with them. Boy, ain't God good. I don't know if I told y'all this or not, but I want to thank y'all for having me this week. I'm intimidated. Look around, I see all these good preachers and young preachers. I don't know if any of y'all ever feel that way or not. But that's all right. I have a whole lot of respect for every one of y'all. And thankful for you. Y'all don't know how much help y'all have been to me over the years. And things I've learned from you. Just thankful for that. God blesses in all kinds of ways. Tonight, if you have your Bible, try to preach out of the 10th chapter of Luke. While you're turning there, I want to tell Sister Leanne how much I appreciated what she said last night. It's a hard thing to be open and honest with what we struggle with. Sometimes it's hard for us to admit things, you know, and but I really appreciated what she said, and I know she already knows this, but this church loves you, Leanne. Amen. Hilltop wouldn't be the same Hilltop I know without Leanne Dotson. Some of my favorite memories of this place is when lots of us would be in the altar, you know, and she'd pray, and then she would wind up shouting. I miss those times. But we can have them out here just like we had them in there. I think Brother Michael said the other night about how the church is, this is the church, the people. It's not that building. And we know that, but sometimes we do kind of get attached to what we've been used to for so many years, you know, and we don't think of it like we should. So thank you for the reminder, bud. Gonna start in about the 23rd verse. This is what everybody knows as the Good Samaritan. The Bible don't say Good Samaritan. It just says Samaritan. But I think we'll find out in a few minutes how it truly is the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to hit a few high spots before I get to the rest of it. He just got through telling his disciples, blessed are their eyes, which see the things that they got to see. And right on down in the 25th verse, there was a lawyer stood up and tempted him. Now, we know from the very get-go, this lawyer was he's just being a little smart aleck. That's about all I know to say. And the Lord had to deal with that a whole lot while he was here. And hard-headed and I'm afraid he still does. The times that I've been the same way, I guess. And, but he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And the lawyer answered him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord said, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Now, I know most of us probably, I don't know about y'all, but I've always thought about this as a parable, but it don't say it's a parable. It says a certain man. So it kind of makes me think that this wasn't a parable that the Lord was telling. It makes me wonder if it happened, you know, this incident. It said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So it makes me, if you just get this in your mind and kind of try to see it, Jericho was not a real nice place. And the road down to Jericho was rough. It was about, I think I read it was several miles. It wasn't just a little short journey. I heard one time maybe, and I don't know if it's right or not, but I think somebody said it was about 40 miles. Now, I don't know how far it was, but it was a dangerous place. And they had to go through certain places in parts, you know, where the thieves could hide, you know, on both sides and beat them up, you know, and that's what happened to this guy here. In other words, he left him half dead. They beat the daylights out of this man. Yeah. And they stripped him of, you know, they stole from him, you know, and just wore him out there. And if we just get the picture of this man laying here on the ground suffering and struggling, you know, and a religious dude walks by on one side and sees him. Now, I don't know if he just didn't want to get his hands dirty. You know, I don't know what his problem was or if he was busy going somewhere. And how many times has that happened to us? We see somebody broke down on the side of the road, but we're headed somewhere, you know, and we think, well, I really ain't got time. And nowadays, you know, you'll see somebody walking. Used to, you could pick up people and take them places. And now things, you know, are different. We think about things different now than we used to, you know. And I thought about how that, and this might not mean nothing to you, but I thought about how that Sister Sheila had a flat tire the other night. And I know you think that ain't no big deal. And having a flat tire really ain't that big a deal. But I tell you what the big deal was when I drove up beside all that and there was cars lined up all the way up and down through there. That's a big deal. I appreciated that. I can tell you right now, if Clarissa breaks down somewhere or another, it would tickle me to death for one of y'all to stop and help her, much less 8 or 10 cars or whatever it was. And that was a good sign, wasn't it? I appreciated seeing that. But this religious fellow, a Levite, a priest first, you know, walks by and he looks over and he didn't want to fool with him, you know. And then there was a Levite, and he did the same thing on the other side. Just really didn't have time to deal with this man. And then it says, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Yeah. Then he asked the question, Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. I believe the Lord teaches us to be compassionate towards other people. He teaches us not to judge nobody and look down on anybody. Might be us tomorrow.
Amen.
I always need to keep that in mind.
Amen.
But that part of this story is not really the part that's on my heart. Brother Bodine's been teaching me about shadows and types and how that sometimes when you read something in the scriptures, it's a little deeper than just the surface here. Not just about somebody falling among the thieves. It's if you think about it, it goes a lot deeper than that. And this has been on my heart for some time, and I sure hope you get something out of it. But I want us to go back through this. There's some things that really stuck out to me, and so I believe that the Lord was telling a whole lot more here than what we just read. There's a lot deeper stuff going on here, and I hope my prayer tonight is that you're blessed if you're saved, and you're warned if you're lost. I really hope you get something out of this. It says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that word "down" kind of stuck out with me. That's a real good place to start, is down. Jerusalem was what they call the city of peace. It was known to be a better kind of a place. But they went down to a place called Jericho that I was telling you a while ago, and he fell among the thieves. Now, I want you to think about this man, this certain man. It's not just this man. He didn't give him a name here, but think about a human being. And as the saying goes, let's go deep for a few minutes. But it's not all that deep, or I wouldn't be able to handle it. But he fell among the thieves. I want to talk about who the thief is for a few minutes. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, he said, "I'm the good shepherd." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And boy, ain't he a good one. He said, "I shall not want." And that means that you ain't got no need to want another one if you've got the Lord for your shepherd. But then he went on and he talked about how that the thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I want you to know tonight that the thief is still coming to kill and to steal and to destroy. Whether you're saved or lost, I want you to know if you're lost, he wants to keep you there. He wants to steal that opportunity away from you. He wants to kill. He wants you to go to hell with him. Now, I want you to think about that. A lot of times here on earth, we have good friends, you know, we hang out with and everything, and, you know, we enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you that there ain't much of a party going on down there. It's a bad place. Represented here in this story, I believe, by Jericho. It's a place where people ain't nice, and it's a place where people are burning, and they're screaming, and there ain't nobody there having a good time. I want you to know that. Bad place. And sometimes us saved people, we forget how bad that place really is, don't we? I've thought several times, you know, and Chris has heard me say this before, but I don't think we would have to see it for it to even get our attention. I believe if we could just listen to it for just about a few seconds, it would change our life. If we could hear the screams that's coming out of that place, I believe if lost people could hear that tonight, they would be under conviction so fast it'd make their heads swim. And it would cause us saved people to get excited about wanting to tell people about the Lord. It might wake some of us up and know that some of them's going to wind up being our grandchildren if something don't change. Or our own children or our parents or whoever that it might be that's lost in your family. But for us saved people, he wants to destroy us too, don't he? That's one of my favorite things about being saved. Yeah, he tries to kill, and he steals a whole lot of my joy, don't he, y'all? All this junk going on in the world and stuff, I mean, he's at the head of that. God's not the author of confusion, so you know who he is. and he's causing all the havoc and all the trouble that he can possibly cause, and we get thrown right in the middle of that sometimes, and we have to deal with all those things in our life, and he steals our joy if we let him. But you know what? He can't have me. He can only do what God allows him to do. He may steal my joy. And he may beat me up. He may just discourage me to the point that I just don't know what to do. And some of y'all have been there, but he can't have me. Because somebody else has done got me. That good shepherd, he's my brother in the Lord. And I've got a heavenly father, so he can cause all kinds of trouble in my life. But when it's over with, I ain't going to have to worry about him no more. Amen. Ain't that a good thing to look forward to? How many days have y'all spent where the Lord, I mean, where the devil didn't bother you? It starts, boy, just quick, don't it? Every morning. Bodine was talking about today how all these things is going on. It's revival time, you know, and I believe with all of my heart, the harder you try, the harder he's going to work on you. So it's a pretty good sign when things ain't going real good that you're trying, ain't it? I've heard Brother Brad talk about him, and he's honest about it, and I love that, and that's helped me. About you ask him, how you doing? He said, I'm battling. There's a warfare going on every day. And one of these days, I'm going to be able to wake up and there won't be no more warfare. Only because God is my Father. Because I got saved. And I hope you feel the same way. So we got to deal with this thief. And right now, just like when they sowed the seeds, the Lord told the parable about sowing the seeds, you know, and he compared them ravens that come and they would catch away the seed. I want you to know something. I know you lost people. You've got to listen harder. You got to pay more attention. You got to try to catch them seeds because the devil's trying to steal them before you get a hold of it. What we're trying to do is sow some seeds. We don't know if they're going to come up or not, but the Lord directs us where to sow them at, and that's all we can do. And somebody else will water those seeds, but sometimes they fall on good ground and God gives some increase. And that's what we're hoping for. But you have to listen. You have to soak it in. I know how easy it is when you're lost to be distracted or don't want to listen, to look at babies crying and playing with this and that. And you know, I understand. We want to occupy our mind. But the thief is working on you. As a matter of fact, he's your daddy. Now, that's a bad thought. That scares me, don't you? I know a lot of people might not want to see that, but Jesus told them, people, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Right. Now, you've only got two choices. The devil can be your father, Satan, or God. Now, I don't know how much you think of your father. But he ain't a good dude. He's loving having you there, though. So you can go to hell with him. He's a liar. The father of it. You don't want to be around him. He's a thief. And then I look down there in that same verse, and he's left this feller half dead. Now, stay with me here just a minute. Now, Lord, help me explain this the way it's been on my heart. Sometimes things don't come out when you try to preach like they do when you're cutting hay. That make any sense? Sometimes you'll be out working on the farm and it seems like everything just lines right up like it's supposed to, you know. And then when you get in front of all these people, you know, it might be a little different. So I need the Lord, and I want to explain this as simple as I know how. When God made Adam in the garden and Eve, we talked about that a little bit the other night. He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Okay? Man is made up of at least two parts, an inward man and an outward man. When you're a child running around, it's kind of like just a little kid or whatever, you know, then You're alive physically, right? And you're also alive on the inside. And then when you're saved, you're alive on physically. We're moving around, you know, but you're alive on the inside because you've had eternal life given to you. But when you're lost, you're half dead. The Lord said, when he told them not to eat that fruit, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But they were still up walking around, wasn't they? They were still being fruitful and multiplying and doing all, you know, they were still carrying on this regular physical life, wasn't it? But they was dead on the inside. So if you've got two lives and you take one of them away, then you must be what? Half dead. This man here, the thief came and he beat the daylights out of him and he left him there and he was half dead. And then there was a priest that come by. We're going to talk about the law just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about religious things just a few minutes. One of these, I believe, represented the law, and the law come by and they looked over at him. I'll tell you what the law does. It won't save you. It won't save you. You can't call on the law and say, "Law, please save me." It won't work because the law is what let you know that you was a sinner. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What the law does is, it just Paul said, he said, I was alive once without the law. But then sin revived and I died. It slew him. Y'all remember when you died? You remember when you became half dead? I know just exactly where I was. I was sitting right beside of my pa at Rocky Mound Missionary Baptist Church, right beside of him. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what to call it, but I know something was bad wrong. Amen. That's when I become half dead. And when you get saved, you know that all gets fixed. The law. It wants justice. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I'm so thankful for the back half of that verse. Even though the law says, you know, the wages of sin is death, the rest of that said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Ain't you glad that's there? So the law just tells you, you're a sinner, and it slew you. But Jesus said, I'm going to die for you so you can have life. It's still your choice. You can stay half dead if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If you stay half dead for on, and when the time comes, there's a second death that you've got to worry about, where death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. That ought to scare all of us to death. But it don't scare me for me. Because perfect love casts out all fear. I don't never lay down and worry about whether I'm going to have to go to hell or not. But I remember being lost, don't you? And we don't want that for you. So if you're half dead, I want you to know, you better get that fixed before you're twice dead. That's a bad thing. And then there was a Levite. And I'm fixing to say something here the biggest part of the world probably wouldn't understand. Religion has probably sent more people to hell than just about anything. Religion will tell you that if you do good enough, that you'll get to go in. And that's a lie. Religion will tell you that if you give so much money and do this, that, and the other, you know, that God will smile on you better or whatever. You'll have an opportunity. That's a lie. Amen. You can only give what the Lord lets you have to give to start with. Yep. Religion is just as close enough to the truth to make everybody think it's the right thing, but they leave it right off at the end. Y'all have heard people preach before, and it sounds like they've done a good job. They can preach better than I can. But I don't aim to tell nobody right at the end to repeat no prayer after me. And I'm not going to tell them to sign no card or join no church or nothing. I'm going to tell you to get. It might not be popular in 2020, but I'm still going to tell you, you better get down on your knees and talk to God. Call on Him and He'll save you. And I know that for a fact. And some of y'all know the same thing. But religion don't go that way. You can visit the sick and the fatherless in their affliction. And if you ain't never been saved, you still go to hell. So the law ain't going to help you as far as being saved goes. And religion won't neither. This church here can't save you. No church can save you. No religious organization can save you. Only the Lord can save you. Now, you might not have liked a whole lot of this story so far, but it's fixing to get real good. It's fixing to get really good. So you got this priest come by on one side, and a Levite come by on the other side and didn't want to have anything to do with this fellow that was half dead. But a certain Samaritan. Now, who y'all reckon he was? Oh. You might say, well, he can't be Jesus because he's a Samaritan, but let's think about that just a little bit. I heard him say the other night, I believe, and I think I remember in his sermon word that the Jews and the Samaritans don't have nothing to do with one another. They're enemies. They don't like each other. What happened was, I believe, and Larry can correct me if I'm wrong, but when the northern and the southern kingdom divided, the northern kingdom, some of them went off and started having children with Samaria, and they were half Jews. And that sure enough goes against the Jewish religion. They don't like that stuff. So we get the picture here. This man's laying here. And I don't know whether he was a Jew or not, but the Jews wouldn't have nothing to do with him. The Levite and the priest, they didn't want to have nothing to do with this man. But a certain Samaritan, you might say, well, they was despised and rejected. And I want to tell you something. My Lord was despised and rejected. That's what the 53rd chapter of Isaiah says. He was a man of sorrows. I want to tell you something. The world didn't like him. And they still don't today. And we can't just stick a cross up everywhere and think that's good enough. There's religious organizations all over the world with crosses and this, that, and other. And they may say his name every now and then, but I'm going to tell you something. You're still a far cry from being heartfelt salvation in your heart. That's a big difference, ain't it? The world still is trying to add a little to him or take a little away from him. And he don't need no help. He's just fine, just like he is. The world didn't like him then, and the biggest majority of the world don't like him now. So this man here was, if you think that we were not enemies, let me tell you just a little bit of story right here before we go any further while it's on my heart. You remember when the Lord talked about the pearl of great price? In the 13th chapter of Matthew, I believe it is. I didn't know this. I hadn't known it very long, but boy, when I found out about it, it just meant the world to me. This man sold everything, a merchant man. He came from a far country, it says, and he came down and he found a pearl. And it meant so much to him that he got rid of everything else just so he could have that pearl. Now, Jesus was the merchant man. You might want to consider that a church, or you, because churches is made up of people, right, was the pearl. But do you know how a pearl was made? Inside of a clam, there's a piece of sand or dirt or some kind of irritant gets in there and it causes an injury. Y'all ever heard that scripture where love covers a multitude of sins? We was an injury to him. It wasn't just them Roman soldiers that done that to him. We had a part in it too. It was my sin. I was the irritant. But he just kept covering it, and he kept covering it, and he kept covering it. And he thought so much of us that he got rid. He left everything and come down here just to buy us. Now, don't that mean something to you? Now, I better get back over here where I was. He came where he was. Where was you? Where'd you get saved at, Dusty? Came where you was. Well, we already had two people that didn't want nothing to do. One on one side, one on one on the other, and they looked at the other, and I don't want nothing to do. But he came where you was. He came to that outhouse, didn't he, Miss Polly? And you was enemies with him. Y'all was on two different sides. I mean, when we're lost, we belong to the devil. And when we get saved, we belong to God. There's a lot of difference between those two things. We were enemies. And while we were getting enemies, he died for us. He came where we was. I remember when he showed up on that little porch. I started out there, I was by myself. He came where I was, and I could feel him. Made all the difference in the world. I'm glad that he'll have to do with you. He don't just look over and see you and keep walking. He said when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That just means that he hurt for you bad enough to come and help you. Ain't you glad of that? I think most of you probably done figured out that we was that certain man that fell among the thieves. Each one of us has been saved. And those of you that's been lost, you still down amongst the thieves. You still there half dead. He said he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And I thought about that. In the Bible, I think sometimes the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Boy, you talk about a beautiful picture. He poured it in. The Bible says over in the Roman letter, talks about though they that have been led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ephesians talks about how that he puts that Spirit in us and his Spirit bears witness with us over against Rome. So you got several books there that lets us know that when we get saved, he gives us of his Spirit. And it's the earnest of our inheritance. That means he just ain't going to take it back. It's like a little down payment kind of thing, you know, that you don't. When you give earnest money when you buy something somewhere, you better be sure because you don't get that back. He didn't get it back. He don't even want it back. He sealed us with his Spirit. I believe he said, put a stamp of approval on it and said, this one's mine. And it stays that way forever. And I was thinking a while ago, you know, I said that about the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Why does everybody fuss and argue and carry on about losing your salvation? That's all over the place, man. People believe all kinds of... Why is that? That's almost... I'm a dumb old boy, but you know what? That's almost a no-brainer right there. Yeah. Eternal life. End of discussion. Why argue about that? He said eternal life. That means it ain't going to end nowhere, don't it? It goes on and on and on. Oh, even to that city that they were singing about a while ago. It starts when you get saved and it goes all the way through and it just keeps going. Yeah. Eternal life. Man, what a blessing. I don't know why in the world people wants to believe you can lose it. When we get saved, he poured in that oil, didn't he? That Holy Spirit, boy, it's in there, and sometimes it gets to bubbling up, and you get to feel something, boy, and ain't nothing like it. He also poured in wine. Now, wine and oil, that's healing agents and stuff. That's the kind of medicine that they used back in them days. So that's why, you know, it kind of made sense to them that he would pour in oil and wine. He bound up his wounds. He cleaned him up. Wine was a disinfectant. Did he clean you up? We have to realize just how filthy we was and how filthy we can be as human beings. But when he saw us, even in that filthy state, he saw us and he came to where we was. And he had compassion on us and he poured in his Holy Spirit into us. And when we got saved after you called on him, and that blood, boy, wine means it talks about blood in the Bible, don't it? He shed his blood. For each and every one of us. Are you washed in the blood? It ain't never made a whole lot of sense to me how a black soul can be washed with red blood and come out white. That don't make no sense to me. But that's the way he's got it fixed up. We're just as white as all get out on the inside. We're whiter than our shirts are, ain't we? I might have a little speck of something on my shirt. Might defile it a little bit. But I want to tell you something. On the inside, if you've been saved, it's plumb white. There ain't a spot on it. You're just as perfect as he is. That's hard to believe, ain't it? I'm glad for a man's got an inward and an outward. The outward man perishes. It's going back to the dust. We're getting old, boy. You don't feel like working like we used to, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about, little aches and pains here and yonder. Sometimes you just want to sit down and not do nothing. Have y'all, some of y'all already figured that out? So we just ain't all that healthy on the outside, are we? But the inward man is renewed day by day. It tickles me to know that my inside is new today, just as young as it was yesterday. Ain't going to have no end to it. Washed in the blood. He said he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Now, what do y'all reckon that inn was? I'm not going to point to that, but I'm going to point to that we usually meet in that. I believe that inn was the church. Beautiful picture, ain't it? And it took care of him. I remember, I hope y'all all do, because God sets the members in the body as it pleased him. I don't believe in this stuff, church hopping, just going here and yonder, this and that and other, just because you want to, you get mad at somebody. I believe that when you're sitting there minding your own business and the Lord knocks on your heart and about makes you sick, and you know that that's what you're supposed to do, then that's when you need to join the church. Because then God set you in there. You remember that happening to you? And she's been taking care of us ever since, ain't she? I get fed here. I get to hear what I need to hear. I get to grow here because I get the right kind of food. I get love here. Don't y'all? Hilltop, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that I hope makes you feel good, but we need to be careful with it. Brother Barry, I heard him say the other night that Charles Jones just drilled that into the young members or whatever when this church started about loving one another. And it's been carrying on and carrying on and it's still carrying on, but we don't need to be proud in that. We need to be loving toward everybody. We need to be givers just like he told us that Jesus was. There's food downstairs if anybody needs it. And I know some of these people will come to your rescue if you needed them. I don't know what the name of this inn would be called, but boy, I sure love it. The inn that I know of here is called Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church. And they got real good food. Some of it don't taste too good when you first eat it, but boy, it'll sure make you healthy, won't it? Listen. And some of it's just real sweet when you hear it and it makes you want to rejoice. He said, they took him to the inn. He said, take care of him. And I'm thankful that we've had people taking care of us all this time. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, in case you ain't none figured it out, he paid for us. Whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I'll repay you. I'll take up the slack. When I come again, he's coming back. Now, you might have read the story of the Good Samaritan and not got that out of it. I don't know. That's your business. That's between you and him. But boy, he's been awful good to me. When I was half dead, he saw me, and he came to where I was. He didn't have to. Lord knows I've been a lot of trouble to him. I was one of them smart aleck youngins or whatever that couldn't stay out of trouble. Best I was into something all the time, and I have been ever since I've been a grown man. Some of us just have trouble staying out of trouble, don't we? But he saved me anyway, knowing ahead of time that I was going to be a lot of trouble. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves us. And those of you here that tonight that are lost and you don't know him, he died for you just like he did for any of us. I got a question I want to ask you. And then I'll hush. And I mean this with all humility that I know how to, I know how to say. Ain't you tired of not having it right with God? Wouldn't it be so good? Listen close now. Please don't turn away and get distracted from me. I'm almost done. Wouldn't it be good if you could leave here tonight with you and the Lord on the same page? He'll come to where you are. And he'll pour in that oil and that wine, and he'll clean you all up, and he'll make you one of his. And you can go home tonight and not have to worry about it ever again. Wouldn't that be good? So my question is do you want to be saved? Or there's some of us, you know, that may have been saved and we didn't want to tell nobody about it. Maybe we have doubts and stuff, and maybe we're not sure, but I want to tell you something. You can pray about that too, and you can still leave here tonight with all of that fixed up and clear in your heart, and you don't have to worry about that anymore either. But you got to make an effort. No matter what good works you do, no matter how much religion you do, none of that, when it comes right down to it, is, are you a child of God? That's what you got to be. You have to be saved no matter what you do for everybody else. You still have to be saved. And I just really, boy, I had such high hope for, and I still do for this revival. I know we can't push. I know we can't put pressure. If the Holy Ghost don't do it, we might as well forget it. But I still can't, don't keep me from wanting to see it, don't y'all? I miss those days that Brother Barry was talking about coming, people coming up like popcorn, don't you? I'm about done. I appreciate you listening. Wouldn't it be good to go home tonight clear? Well, let me ask you this. If we was to have an altar call, would you be willing to even try? To either get saved or figure out what's going on and be honest with the Lord. I can't make you. Nobody here is going to make you. That ain't no good. You have to come because you want to. You have to come because you want to be saved or you want to get it all straightened out. You have to want that. You got to make that move. When the Lord said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you, that works for everybody, lost and saved. I think if some of you wanted to be saved as bad as some of us want you to be saved, but it don't work that way. You have to want to be saved. So I appreciate you sitting there. I know you probably things that you'd rather be doing tonight, some of you, but boy, I'm so thankful that you came. Amen. Visitors and all. Amen. We've had some visitors here every night. Jake, I appreciate it, bud. Thank you for bringing your family. Amen. But I still want to see somebody say that the Lord saved me. Don't you? But I don't want them just to say it. I want them to get the real thing. The real, genuine, heartfelt salvation, something that you know, something took place. You may not understand it all, but something that you know is different. You've got a love in there that you didn't used to have and all that kind of, you know what I'm saying. Thank you. Let's have a song. most of the time we would say shake hands with one another. Things are just different, ain't they? Salvation ain't different.
Amen.
It's just like it's always been. Please, if you're worried about what people's going to think, I'm assuring you they will pray for you. They love you no matter who you are. They're not going to be making fun of you. If they are, then they've got a bad problem. They want to see you get things worked out. Wouldn't it be so good to leave here tonight with peace in your heart and go to bed tonight and don't have to worry about it? How in the world can you lead a family, or how can you go through life without him? I just don't know how people do it. I wouldn't go back to being lost for 5 seconds. Ain't no way. I've said it before, he might come back in that 5 seconds, but you know, that ain't really the biggest part of it. I would want to trade it all for 5 seconds because I appreciate it too much to do without it for 5 seconds. I wouldn't want to be lost for nothing in the world. I like, whether I do or whether I don't, I like the idea of being able to pray. Don't you? Big things, little things, everything. Spend time with him. Ain't nothing like it. Brother, get a song, if you will. Please come and seek the Lord. Please come.